Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest and a friend of ours. She is the Mad Dog, Maggie Dawn. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She's a friend of ours. Maggie, it has been far too long since I've seen you in person, sister.
Hey, Maggie.
I know. It has been a while, Mike. I miss you. As crazy as that sounds, I do.
We're throwing a party on Tuesday. You could ride down with Dominic. We'd make some accommodations for you, Mad Dog.
Well, listen, Dom and I will have to have an off-air adult conversation about that, which you shouldn't be a part of.
If it's adult, he can't be.
I do know the saying, Maggie.
Exactly.
Ass, grass, or cash. Nobody rides for free.
Indeed, sir. Indeed.
Hey, Maggie, let me ask you about Wisconsin Republicans taking a trip out to Arizona to check out how they're auditing the vote. You know, the cyber ninjas and that sort of stuff.
The fraudit.
What's your opinion of this political exercise, Maggie?
This is just sheer insanity. It's all theater. It is of no substance. There are no rules. It's simply to keep the big lie going. And Republicans in Arizona and in Wisconsin should be ashamed of themselves, starting with Ron Johnson. This is just ridiculous. And, like, taxpayers are paying for this crap. It's unbelievable.
What about the investigators hired by the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, one a very partisan investigator, a former Milwaukee cop who was, you know, sort of left in disgrace based upon prior allegations made of electoral fraud? These are not credible sources, potentially, Maggie, but we, the taxpayers, through the Speaker of the Assembly, have hired them to turn around and tell us what fantastic stories of voter fraud and Trump's glorious victory here in the state?
It's insane, right? Like, it's sort of asking one of the inmates at the asylum to evaluate the asylum. I mean, I don't understand how you, of all of the people that you could potentially pick, if you actually wanted to preserve any veneer, it's simply a fig leaf, if you will, of credibility, this isn't the guy that you pick. The fact that they did shows you this is all nothing but a mere theater, a display for the conspiracy wing nut jobs that exist now and perhaps dominate the Republican Party. It's sickening.
Maggie, I know that you played a part, at least legally, in the Milwaukee recount. And obviously we had a Dane County recount, the two most Democratic populist areas of the state of Wisconsin. And it seemed like the same outcome came out of the recount. Maggie, you know, they're not going to change the outcome. They could, you know, potentially wreck a few voting machines. And, of course, they could wreck democracy. But other than that, what's the worst they could do, Maggie?
What's the worst that could happen?
Just bring democracy to its knees. I mean, listen, let's remember what happened in the actual officially, legally constrained, legally audited actual recounts that happened. These are all run by local bureaucrats, and I always use the B word as a good word, it's not a bad word, and volunteers. They are given specific instructions on what ballots are to be counted according to the law of the state of Wisconsin. And oh yeah, while they're doing all of this, the Trump campaign's lawyers were there, as were hundreds of Trump campaign observers. That is what happened in Arizona's recount, and it's what happened in Milwaukee's recount and Dane County's recount. And they could find nothing that even remotely led to any sort of swing in the votes. In Milwaukee's recount, the votes for Biden actually went up. So what is this? First of all, there's no legal precedent that constrains it or guides it. There are no legal rules about what to count and what not to count. These are individuals who have never had anything to do with recounts. In the case of cyber ninjas that are being brought in Arizona, you know, you pick a completely discredited cop who himself engaged in voter-related fraudulent behavior, is alleged to. This is ridiculous. It's like the difference between the recount with rules and observers and rooms full of lawyers, rooms full of them, and, well, a complete free-for-all. If their idea is that they're audit or recount of the recount of the recount that has been, oh, by the way, all of those recounts have been reviewed by federal judges in the case of Wisconsin's recount and Dane and Milwaukee County, was reviewed and found to be absolutely no substantial problems at all with the election by a Trump-appointed federal court judge, confirmed by the Seventh Circuit and review denied by the Supreme Court. It's like, if those people aren't giving you what you want, let's just pull any Tom, Dick, or Harry off the street, tell them what we want them, what we want the outcome to be, and then engage in some sort of, quote, analysis that has no rules behind closed doors, and then say, see, ta-da, we were right. The election was flawed. I mean, if it weren't such a crazy time, right, you would think this can't possibly be happening, but it is.
But it is. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our friend, Legal Eagle. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I guess on the legal side, Don McGahn, you know, testified. The transcripts were released yesterday, Maggie. Not a lot of, you know, new news, I would say, but certainly a confirmation of his testimony to the Mueller investigation and the Mueller report. Certainly confirming the obstruction of justice charges. And the Boston Globe, I think it was yesterday, Maggie, we talked about it on the show a bit, putting forth the case for the prosecution of Donald Trump. So above and beyond all the other investigations, criminal investigations going on in New York and Georgia, et cetera, what do you think should come of this? And is the Department of Justice the legal entity to spearhead a prosecution of the former president? And do you think if they are the ones to do it, that they have the political fortitude or the prosecutorial judgment to do so? And should they?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And so to sort of frame this up a bit, we have state authorities in New York investigating the president, his charities, and the Trump Organization. We have the district attorney of Manhattan, Cyrus Vance, so at the local level, also investigating what looks to be, and no one's exactly sure, like, who's investigating what and who's cooperating with whom. But it looks to be a lot of it related to fraudulent property valuations, whether it was inflation of property value for the purposes of additional borrowing, or deflation of property value for the purposes of potentially reducing tax impacts, perhaps fraud either way in terms of trying to obtain insurance. We're not really sure what all of that is and where, who's got what, right? Like, who's investigating what? And they're all kind of related. Now, some of the news has been that, in fact, the Attorney General in the state of New York and Mr. Vance, District Attorney Vance, are cooperating. That is something that if I was Donald Trump in his organization, I'd be worried about. Then you have completely separately various federal districts. And by districts, I mean, I just spoke about Judge Ludwig, who presides in the Eastern District. But the Eastern District of Wisconsin also has a U.S. Attorney's Office specific to that district. We are hearing that both out of the Southern District of New York, the District of Columbia, as well as potentially the Eastern District of New York, all at some time have had some sort of investigation into Trump and or the Trump Organization. Now, the federal branch would be looking specifically at federal crimes. This could include the hush money payoffs that weren't reported as campaign donations, other kinds of issues surrounding fundraising. We now have, of course, Postmaster General DeJoy getting investigated for basically telling his employees to donate, and then he just upped their check magically for that amount. Yeah, you can't do that. That's illegal. That's a crime. So again, I don't really know who's taking the lead. When it comes to federal crimes, that is always going to be the Department of Justice. But the facts may go to multiple different crimes, both federal and state crimes. State crimes can be looked into by an attorney general and a district attorney. And again, a lot of the facts, documents, and testimony may be relevant to all of the investigations, regardless of which branch of government is pursuing them. So there isn't a clear answer to your question, Dom.
Well, but specifically, Maggie, if I may, and I know, Kurt, you want to go next. You know, Don McGahn was the White House attorney. He's testified that, you know, Trump ordered him to obstruct justice, right, many times, multiple times.
Yep.
And
yep.
According to the Mueller report, up to 8-10 obstruction of justice possible charges. Would that be the Department of Justice? Would that be Merrick Garland? And should he do that?
Yes, the obstruction charges related to the Mueller investigation, if they were to be brought, would be most appropriately brought by the U.S. attorney. Yes, that is Merrick Garland. Do I think it's going to happen? I think it depends on how clear the evidence of such obstruction is. If it's effectively just McGahn's word versus Trump, is there any documentary evidence, i.e. McGahn taking contemporaneous notes of those meetings, much like we saw James Comey do? Those contemporaneous notes of meetings become very, very persuasive evidence that tend to show that Mr. McGahn would be telling the truth and not the president. I think they may also take into consideration overall, what happens with some of these state prosecutions, right? I'm not sure how the public would react to a federal prosecution. We could guess that probably close to 80% of people who identify as Republicans would just view it as yet another, quote, witch hunt and some sort of hatchet job. Again, classic psychological projection, the things that Republicans scream that we're doing is actually what they have been doing. But again, they may wait for some of those local investigations, the state AG and the district attorney, to go first and see what that brings about. So, you know, kick over the rocks, see what crawls out.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Legal Eagle Maggie Dawn. Maggie, my understanding is when you go through a criminal prosecution, especially when there is complex evidence, and if you talk about the financial crimes that perhaps are being investigated in New York, this would be complex. And obviously, they've been paneled a criminal grand jury 6 months, 3 days a week. But here's my question. It sure would help to have an insider. And we've heard lots of focus about Weisselberg, who is the CFO of the Trump Org, and the fact that Weisselberg's kid runs a cash-only skating rink, perhaps... you know, making him a target of a money laundering investigation. But here's the important point, if there is one, Maggie, in my question. My understanding is the controller of the Trump Org is already giving testimony in New York. And considering that person is immunized by the testimony they give in the grand jury proceedings under New York law, you've effectively perhaps allowed a criminal off the hook by virtue of the fact they've given sworn testimony, can't plead the fifth, but that means they've got an insider to help navigate the grand jury through very complex testimony. Maggie Dawn, the controller giving testimony against Trump, that could be bad.
Yeah, it's, again, not a good day for Mr. Trump and company. What's really interesting here is that when you have financial crimes, regardless of who's prosecuting them, and listen, the feds might be looking at RICO as well, because, of course, this crossed multiple states. That's if I was Trump's attorney, I'd be really worried about that. So what does this mean on a state basis? One, when you've got such a complex case, if you want to actually bring it to trial, you're going to have someone inside of the organization as effectively your guide through these documents to explain all of it, right? Like, you can use forensic accountants and all sorts of things like that, and outside experts do that. And you can put a case together without one. But to have an insider, frankly, aside from the CFO, Mr. Weisselberg, the controller is the next highest fiscal officer.
Maggie Dunn, hold that thought. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Our fine guest, attorney Margaret Dawn.
If it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation?
No! 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 No!
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes.
Yeah, a bit! A bit! A bit! A bit. A bit.
And it's all right. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you've not yet downloaded the super cool Devil Radio app, go to your Google Store, go to your Apple Store, check it out, download it. It's free. Join us. Bring us wherever you go.
And
Devil
if you're,
Radio.
Sorry to interrupt, buddy. If you're struggling to download the Devil Radio app, come see me at Funk's Pub on Saturday on June 12th, or come see us at the Jade Monkey, that funky monkey on Tuesday. We'll help you get the Devil Radio app downloaded, and you'll be super cool forevermore, especially if you come bearing loose joints. We got a fine guest. She's stuck around. She's our good friend, Maggie Dawn, a fine legal mind. Maggie, thanks for sticking around.
You bet, guys.
Maggie, let me ask you, obviously the mask mandates, the state and local coronavirus pandemic mandates have ended. But Maggie, let me ask you a couple of legal questions if I could. Local businesses still have the right to set their own individual business policies. Maggie, I've seen lots of different signs saying masks are optional. Some say you got to wear a mask in this business. What's the law say? What are businesses able to do at this time?
They can require masks or not. It's up to the individual business entity. And that's, you know, I'm chuckling here because, of course, can you imagine any other set of circumstances where Republicans wouldn't be defending the right of the individual business owner to run their business any way they, you know, like refusing to sell a cake to a gay couple? Like, clearly that's that business owner's right. But like, oh, does a business owner want to require masks because, say, it's a salon and, you know, they're giving massages or what, you know, like these close proximity services, or it's a restaurant and you just have a ton of people coming in and you want the people that are handling and touching and preparing and delivering the food to wear masks. Completely up to the business owner, but it's only in this bizarre day and age where up is down, left and right, and Democrats get gaslit constantly by Republicans, where all of a sudden that local control, that business owner's control, Republicans don't like that. CEG, of course, Ron DeSantis in Florida, trying to pass a bill to prohibit any business owner, including cruise ships, the petri dish for these sorts of diseases and infections, from requiring masks. I mean, it's absolute lunacy.
My understanding is the cruises running out of Florida will be mask optional and vaccine optional because that's part of the deal. Maggie, let me ask you about that. Mandatory vaccines for employees. Now, I've quizzed my people and I have gotten an assessment of who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. But Maggie, can I mandate vaccinations of employees?
Of course, that's the other thing that Republicans are trying to pass laws to prevent. So it's one, trying to prevent, you know, the mask requirements, and secondly, trying to prevent private sector employers from requiring vaccines. As far as I know, right now, there's nothing that legally prohibits an employer from requiring vaccines, except in the cases of religious exception, i.e. someone, an employee is a Jehovah's Witness, okay? Or in the case that they have a legitimate medical reason, which may be HIPAA-protected, there's some gray area here because your vaccinated status is not HIPAA-protected, but a legitimate medical reason why you should not receive a vaccine. That's why Republicans here in this state and many others are considering legislation to, again, insert themselves into the decision of private sector business owners, whom in all other circumstances they would say can do whatever the heck they want. So this has really been a bizarre set of turnabout here.
You know, I went to a party up in Stevens Point, Custer, technically, Dom came with, and being vaccinated was actually incentivized. You got a red check on your hand, and you got a free beer out of it. And I went from that party the next day to a differing event where there were a few Trumpsters in attendance. I made the mistake of saying, you know, I went to a vaccination party, and they were outraged. How dare they require vaccinations at a private party, at a private event function, at a private business. And I'm thinking, well, those are all permissible things. Are they not, Maggie?
Yes, again, cute. I don't know, Brian, if there's some music for like total absurdity or some sort of clip, because this is it, right? Like, oh, now they're going to tell me that I can't mandate that everyone that comes to my home be that I don't want you in my home if you haven't been vaccinated. I mean, the tables have turned, folks. We are through the looking glass. It is true.
It's Benny Hill. Maggie Dawn, our friend, for just a couple more minutes. Good call there, Brian. Maggie, you mentioned that the vaccination status is not HIPAA protected, and I'd like you to drill down on it a little bit, if you would. We saw Wisconsin Rep. Shea Sortwell go off on some Stevens Point, you know, children's museum for
Gestapo-like.
Yeah, Gestapo, comparing them to this Gestapo for telling people to wear a mask if they're not vaccinated and to have a card to show that that's the case. Apparently a big issue, but I had not heard specifically that the vaccination status is not a HIPAA requirement, Maggie. Can you expound upon that, please?
Sure. HIPAA is the federal law that protects your personal health information from being publicly disclosed and prevents your healthcare providers from providing that information without your written consent. It also effectively prevents employers from trying to effectively leverage you into providing private personal health information, i.e., you know, I won't give you this job unless you tell me how healthy you are, sort of thing, right? Because employers pay for, in many cases, their employees' health insurance. What the representative had to say about the Children's Hospital, which if he would have just thought for a moment.
A museum, not a hospital, just for clarity's sake.
Yes, it's a children's museum. Did I say hospital? I'm sorry, Mike, thank you. A children's museum, and the museum explained, we're doing this because vaccines are not yet widely available for all ages of kids, and they're going to be coming in with their grandparents. Like, that's what happens at children's museums. So we think this is the safest way to go. Well, you prove that you've had a vaccine, but when you get it, you get this card, and it shows what vaccine you received and the date and when your second shot was, if you used one of those. And they're saying you have to actually show proof of vaccine. And so the representative analogized showing proof of vaccine to effectively the papers that Jewish people were required to show to the Nazis in the various ghettos. If I'm a Jewish person, I would find that incredibly offensive. In one case, we're asking for vaccine cards to save lives.
Maggie, got to cut you short. Thank you so much for joining us, our friend Maggie Dawn. Stick around. Earl Ingram's next at Native Roots Radio.
Sign on with the devil.
Everybody's doing it.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy. We're number one. We beat anybody. We're the devils. The devil!